It's Thursday, November 8th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast, show number 815, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2, or get a .com at $4.95 by using promo code 495GEEK. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everyone, I got a great show lined up for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux tautism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in.
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's show.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, and I tell you, I'm really glad to be with you guys tonight. We've got a great show coming to you from the heartland of Texas, and I tell you, it's fantastic to be with you, and I want to give a warm welcome to all of the HANA out there, all of you that are longtime subscribers to the show, and of course, from listeners and viewers around the world. Switching connectors here behind the scenes, and obviously, I didn't do that very gracefully, but everyone, welcome to the show. And we got a lot to share with you tonight about the podcast. Hey, I want to make sure that you take time and come over to geeknewscentral.com. We've got lots of great content on the website on a daily basis, and really it's your place to come in and check out all the cool content that our content writers put together. And you just come over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find all the information on the website about tech, science, and a variety of different news. We even cover mobile stuff now, so that's pretty exciting on what we've got going on. So you want to get subscribed to the show while you're there as well. You can do that by selecting the RSS feed in the second column of the website and subscribe to Geek News Central, to our Saturday Morning Tech Show, to our special media events feed. And you'll definitely want to get resubscribed if you haven't been subscribed to that in a while, because we're going to start pumping data in there here in the near future as we're ramping up for CES. And don't forget about the Gadget Professor and Robot Underpants and my periodic The Chrome Show as well. So, excuse me. But again, I want to welcome you guys to the show tonight. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of the family. And of course, we always want you to be able to reach out to us. And you can do that via Twitter at Geek News. Or you can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Our hotline is available at 619-342-7365, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or you can just send me a comment via the website at geeknewscentral.com. You find the little microphone on the right-hand side of the website when you're over there. So feel free to do that. Hey, if you don't catch the show live, don't worry. You can listen to this show on virtually any device, whether it be your mobile phone, your iPad, your Android device, your BlackBerry, whether it be a set-top box like your Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, on your Apple TV. Don't worry, we're on all of those devices, and you can watch or listen. It's up to you. And really, that's a great way to stay connected with the show. Another great way to stay connected with the show, and something that we have that many of you should subscribe to, is our newsletter. The newsletter really is the best way to stay abreast on what's going on with the show, and it's real easy. All you got to do at the top of the website at geeknewscentral.com is click on the newsletter link. That'll take you to the page where you can sign up for a Geek News Central show announcement list, where basically we send you all the show notes from the show directly to that mailing list right after the show. Of course, you can subscribe to the Gadget Professor as well. I tell you, the Gadget Professor show has been surging. We're really excited to see that show's numbers growing. I think he's kind of hit his stride, and we've seen the numbers dramatically going up over the past couple of months. And I tell you, this show could really get some huge traction over time here. So we definitely want you to check out the Gadget Professor show. He's been hitting it on all cylinders. And really, I want to give the Gadget Professor. You know, big round of applause for everything he's doing, and take some time to definitely check his show out. And I think it'll be worth your effort to be subscribed to his podcast on a regular basis. And of course, you know, what was happening on the last show is we were unable. I was using all of these great sound effects. I was having fun with them. And those of you that were listening to the show couldn't hear a single one of them because I didn't have it patched right. So I was quite the monkey and really not configuring everything correctly. So I apologize. And hopefully tonight you'll be able to hear the actual sound effects and me just having a little bit of fun with them. But if not, someone just break out the gun and shoot me in the morning. So, and what it is it's I had it all patched, but it just didn't seem to cooperate. It really didn't. So I patched it a different way tonight. It's not perfect. I'm crossing my fingers. Everything's going to turn out on the recording. I tested it, and it seemed to work, so we'll see how it goes. And I won't get too over the top because it's a little hard for me to, you know, I'm not used to where all of these different sound effects are. So I was, you know, I'm looking for stuff, and you happen to try to grab it, and you know there's one there, but you can't find it. But that's just kind of the way it works. All right, so again, hey, I want to give a big shout-out to our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. We've got a great deal for you. It's an absolutely fantastic promotion that has just started today, okay? I've had the promo code up on the website, but it hasn't been active until really midnight last night. And what it is a $4.95 domain. So you can get a .com for $4.95. Now, that's $3 off the regular price. And use the code Geek495 over at GoDaddy, and that'll get you a huge savings if you're picking up some .coms. Now, this is new .coms. Now, renewals, you still have to use ComSale3. That's a great code to use for renewals. But you can find all these codes at GeekNewsCenter.com. And really, it's easy to find the information about how to use them. And really, what you'll do is just scroll down the website, and you're going to see the GoDaddy promo code link right on the website, and I'm shaking my mouse over it. For those of you that are watching the video part, you should be able to see that on your screen with a little GoDaddy logo there in a second on the website. And I've actually got it loaded here, preloaded for the show tonight. So, you know, 14 different codes there for you to use on a variety of different occasions. And we got another great code that is going through the end of the year. And I want you guys to take advantage of these as much as possible. It's a 20% off code, too. So you can save 20% by using the promo code GO20OFF2. So it's real important for you to check that out. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Hey, they really helped me do what I do. And again, I thank them so very much. And we give them a round of applause for being a sponsor here. A nicely played, Todd. But again, thanks, GoDaddy, for being here. And thanks to all of you for supporting GoDaddy.com and picking up all their different products and services. Okay, so let me talk just a little bit here about some of my topics I've got going on. Hey, if you are considering becoming a podcaster, you are a podcaster, you're a podcast awardee for Basic on PodcastAwards.com, we want you to come to New Media Expo. We want you to come to New Media Expo and get exposure to all the great bloggers, all the great live streamers, folks that are podcasters, hang out in the sessions, learn, build your shows. And, you know, there's a link on geeknewscentral.com that'll take you over to the website. Get registered over there. You help us every time you register for New Media Expo through Geek News Central. I'll be there for a podcast awards ceremony. Of course, it happens right at the same time as CES. So we'll have team members at New Media Expo. Don't worry about that. We'll have some people there to cover. But definitely want you to come out. And if you haven't booked yet, please do so, okay? Also, if you're a nominee and you are nominated for the podcast awards, I've got a discount promo code for you. Just email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. We're going to try to do a little bit of an outreach to everyone. We're trying to build a list. And I tell you what's impossible, what's been troubling is you're taking this 7 million line entry database, and we've got it pared down to a little over 5,000 entries, and we're still removing duplicates. And when people were submitting folks for the awards, they never typed the show name the same two or three times in a row. So you end up with these variations of names, and removing all those duplicates is really a pain. So we're trying to figure out the best way to get the word out and basically provide a list. But main thing is just email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. I'll make sure you get your promo code so that you can register as a nominee and save 30% on your order. Now, if you're someone that has if you've made the slate, if you actually one of the folks that, and again, this is for everyone that was nominated, but if you made the slate, we've got a 50% discount code for you. So definitely email me and get that, and we'll get you hooked up to go to the show. Back to Honolulu on Saturday. I fly out of Dallas very, very early in the morning. I've had a great week here. I've had some interesting conversations post-election. And, you know, basically doing what I have to do, taking care of business. And then the day after the election, I'm sitting in a room with, I'm presenting in a room with a lot of executives. And the discussions they had were pretty incredible and pretty insightful and kind of scary at the same time. And not just for who, you know, not because of the, how, it was basically because of how the election turned out and how everything's just the status quo. You know, the president got reelected. There wasn't that much change in the Senate. The House is the same. And they were talking about all this stuff that's going to happen between now and the end of the year before things really get crazy. And so if you, you know, I think the thing that really stuck out to me the most was their discussion about, and I don't want to get, this is, I want to keep this completely non-political, but I just want to talk about how the, they're talking about the small business guys that have health coverage insurance for their employees, and how this the ongoing implementation of Obamacare is going to affect people. They just basically were like, you know, people that are in set jobs that have a, you know, our salary and making a significant income, they probably don't have to worry. Their health insurance probably is not going to go away. It's going to go up. But what they said is the impact was for those that are like working in jobs that are maybe hourly, that aren't super high paying on an hourly basis, but yet still have a medical benefit, they're really worried about those folks being able to retain health care with the rising rates. And I know how much our rates are going up this year, and they're not going down. Don't plan on that happening. And they wouldn't have went down anyway, no matter what. But long story short here is we'll have to keep an eye on this thing and just watch and see what happens. But we'll see. We'll see if these folks can cooperate together in Washington. I kind of have my doubts. One can be hopeful that they'll work together, but I don't know. You know, it's just status quo. Nothing's changed. So it is what it is, and we'll march forward and roll with the punches that may come. And hopefully these folks can learn to work together. We'll see. All right. And again, don't want to really, I know 50% of the audience that's watching the show is probably still reeling from with the Governor Romney not being elected. But it's just the way our system works. And, you know, we just have to move on. It's another day. So we'll see how things go over here over the next couple of years, and we just wish that everything, you know, moves forward positively. That's all we can. That's all we can do. Okay, so let's talk about CES just for a few seconds. Boy, I tell you, I'm really cranking up what's going on with planning and working, trying to get the sponsor signed. And boy, I tell you, it's proving a little more difficult this year than we've seen in years past, and getting to the point where we're getting a signature on the bottom line with contracts. So we're continuing to work that. But it's just one of those things that I'm always nervous at this point, and some things finally seem to kind of click in place in the end. But We definitely are trying to raise some additional money for one additional support person to go to the show. So I'm doing a special, basically asking for a special donation for those of you that really like our CES coverage. And those of you that haven't been or haven't followed us in January during CES, we do 45 hours of live. We do nearly 275 interviews. We put up 275 total spots on Geek News Central, where we'll have all the interviews that we did, all the gear that we found, everything that we thought was cool. And it takes a lot of work, not only from our blogging team, not only from the blogging team, but also the team that's going to be in Vegas and everything. So and it's expensive, it really is. And we are looking again to raise additional money to bring another insider, basically another support person. And I'm hoping that you'll do a special donation via geeknewscentral.com/insider. If you do, I appreciate it. If not, I understand. Economy's tough. But everyone, thanks for their support, irregardless, okay? Okay, talking with Angelo today, we're doing something we've rarely done, is we've added a new feature to our podcast statistics service. And we're going to, for the very first time, go back, and we're loading terabytes of archive data and rerunning log files to add a new spectrum of information to our stats. And it's pretty incredible to watch this process. We have some very large instances running that are basically running at max capacity, max memory to reprocess. And it still takes about 4 to 5 hours to run a single month's worth of log files. And, of course, the stat system has gotten more popular as the years have went on. And some of our earlier years processed pretty fast, and now we're getting a couple of years out from where we are now. And it's just, you can just see the times it's taking the database to rebuild is much longer. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some fantastic stuff coming for those that are using our stats service, and we're really pleased with the new design. All right, let's take care of one last piece of business. We'll get into the full-blown tech show. I got a lot to talk about tonight, for sure, on the tech side. But, you know, one thing that is a given, and one thing that never changes, is that you have to continue to do business full speed ahead, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. You have to keep cranking. And, you know, I think all of us have been in meetings where we're just like, please, let the meeting end. And one thing we found with, even though meetings are sometimes a little bit, they're essential to really the way we work. And, you know, it's a place where people can come in and share ideas, think outside the box, come up with new stuff. And that's something that we did with this new podcast stats feature. We kind of were talking about it, and I said, what about this? Can we do this? And I could almost hear Angelo groan because he knew what we were going to have to do to make that happen. And I said, well, I said, it's worth the investment of some time and money to make this happen. And so we've developed some very creative solutions and be able to come up with new data sets. But, you know, our team is spread out across a variety of different locations. And, you know, coming together individually is impossible. We meet once a year as a team, maybe twice a year. And, you know, basically our fall planning meeting, our spring planning meeting, and then we do a full-blown something in the summer we do where we get together as well. But the rest of the time we're remote. So unless you're using GoToMeeting with HD Faces, you know, you're not going to have a productive meeting. But with GoToMeeting with HD Faces, it's really a simple way to meet and collaborate online. And, you know, we've used this a lot as a team, and I have meetings 2 or 3 times a day using this application. And even when I don't have to use the application, I know it's a tool that I can launch no matter where I'm at. I can use my iPad to start a meeting. I can be in my car, rental car. I can be at the airport. Doesn't matter, you know. So it allows us to share the same screen, and it makes it easier for everyone to be on the same page. And again, with that built-in HD video conferencing, you can see each other's face, and it's easy to launch a meeting, again, using a computer, phone, or tablet, no matter where you're at. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to try GoToMeeting, okay? I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, and it's really simple to make that happen. All you got to do is visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code podcast. Again, visit gotomeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code podcast. That'll get you that 30-day free trial. It's a great way to get set up, and I tell you, we've got this great offer for you. Give it a try. You're going to love it on the iPad. I'm telling you, you really, really are. All right, let's go ahead and switch into the tech part of the show, which you guys have been waiting for. Thank you for letting me indulge tonight and talk a little bit. Had a Red Bull before the show, but completely zonkered. I came back to the hotel room about 5 o'clock, and I literally face-planted on the bed for like 37 minutes. I'd been on my feet. My feet were throbbing, and I said, oh, I got to get up and do the show. And I shouldn't drink these, but it's really kind of the quickest and fastest way to get repumped back up. And probably about the time the show's over, I'll crash. But, you know, it is what it is. Hey, let's talk about Starbucks here for a second. I my wife goes to Starbucks. I don't. I maybe go to Starbucks like once a year. But I know many of you probably make Starbucks as part of your daily ritual. You're off to get some coffee or whatever it may be. But Starbucks has really today begun offering Square wallet purchases. So you can use your iPhone, your iPad, and you can download Square wallet. And, you know, basically you pay right from your phone. You don't have to get out cash. And that works pretty slick. It really does. Now, if you don't have the thing, they can swipe you as well. And it's so kind of a cool way to pay for your coffee in the morning. And this is a big deal. You know, 7,000 stores. You can scan a QR code, or if your phone is NFC capable, you can do that as well. So this is a pretty slick stuff. And but definitely check out Square Wallet, a new way to pay with your smartphone when you visit your favorite pick-me-up beverage center over at Starbucks. Okay, one of our right, you know, I'm not an Angry Birds. I play Angry Birds like once every 6 months. I got loaded on my iPad. I play it from time to time. You know, it's, you know, you use it to whack away different things on the on the screen. But now there is an Angry Birds with a Star Wars theme. So if you are a Angry Birds fan. Angry Birds Star Wars has landed on Android and iOS, along with Windows Phone. I want to thank Alan for putting this article up at Geek News Central. You'll definitely want to check it out. But anyway, you can have a little fun with it. Rovio, again, continues to roll out lots of new themes with Angry Birds. So that's just one of those cool ones. You know, I'm looking at what I just did there. Let me try that again. And those of you watching the video, let's see how that does. Oh, and I do with a green screen. I better just do a cut. I think that's better. Yeah. What was going on is the screen was changing from the screen that I was showing to the video watchers. The kind of like I get some pixelation in there. So we'll just do a straight cut. It'll be a little better for all of you watching. Lacey, and I got in trouble at CES by their CEO. Actually, it was their chief. It was a COO or something like that, and you know, basically mispronouncing some stuff. Surprise there, right? But anyway, they've come out with a new waterproof USB key, and it's smaller than your house key, but you can put it right on your key ring. And I've had a couple of USB sticks before that I put right on a key ring, and they're really slick. They really are, and they don't cost very much. They're quite inexpensive. So definitely give it a check out. This is an article over on Gizmodo, and they are $15, $23, and $40 at 8, 16, and 32 gigs. So not a bad price. And you'll always have a USB stick with you no matter where you're at. And you can almost guarantee you're not going to leave this one at the store when you leave. Next article up I've got tonight is another article over on Gizmodo. Let's talk about the pickup truck of bikes. If you live in a city and you are commuting back and forth to your job and you need to stop at the grocery store, they got a pretty, I guess for what a better word here, is a pretty dorky bike. It's $800, and it's called Donkey. It's designed for hauling you know, basically a big bag of groceries or a dog or whatever it may be. It's got two places to put the materials and a basket. So you could definitely check this out. And if you're looking to save money on your fuel bill, of course, the gas, you know what, the gas prices, simply incredible here. I mean, they continue to go down. I don't think I've seen gas prices this low in 2 or 3 years. It's really amazing. They say they could get to $2.99 before Thanksgiving. It's not going to be that low in Hawaii, obviously, but I still think it's pretty slick. If you're happy with the low gas prices, I'm sure that, well, who isn't happy with the lower gas prices? You know, instead of spending $75 to fill my vehicle up, I can actually do like $55. You know, it's a big difference. So, again, if you got something to say about the show tonight, you can do it on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Our hotline is available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. All right, AT&T has reversed course. You can now use your iPhone 5 and use FaceTime without Wi-Fi. So this is pretty big. This is a big, big, big reversal by AT&T. And up to this point, they were basically being pretty hard-nosed about it. But here's a little bit of a, you know, some commentary that's being made in the field. You know, basically, the law has been very clear that AT&T cannot block FaceTime based on claims of potential congestion. There's nothing even remotely reasonable about the approach that AT&T had before. So basically, they have been in violation of FCC rules and the broader principles of net neutrality for a while now on this. So we'll see if they open this up to any other phones. But again, it's only on the iPhone 5. And so those of you who are using LTE, you know, with the iPhone 5, if an area that doesn't have LTE, you're out of luck. They don't care. They're going to, you have to continue to use it on Wi-Fi. So time will tell on how this develops, but at least they have reversed course. All right, NASA has dismantled the last traces of the space shuttle program. NASA has been cleaning out their garage and the big building where they stack everything up. You know, and it's kind of sad to see all this stuff go. But one thing's for sure: if they're going to be, you know, with being a government agency, they're going to be probably putting this all stuff into what's called a DRMO, or I guess it's maybe not DRMO because that's defense reclamation material. Basically, it's a place where they send all their stuff for people that you can go in and bid on. Matter of fact, I think you can go on, you can search for DRMO auctions, and you can find surplus military goods to buy. But I am sure that a lot of this gear is going to end up in some sort of a sale. If nothing else, they have one heck of a lot of steel that is going to be recycled in this matter. You just think about the amount of, you know, the actual, you know, the amount of steel that it took to be encapsulating the shuttle and multi-floors of repair modules and so forth and slings and you name it. But they're going to be, you know, working on the VAB, the Vehicle Assembly Building, over the next couple of years, getting it ready for its new lift vehicle. So we'll keep an eye on this. I'm sure there's going to be lots of coverage on this as time goes on. And if you got a message today from Twitter saying you need to reset your password, well, it was kind of a mistake. Apparently, they sent out a whole bunch of reset notices to people that really didn't need them, with stuff that had not been hacked. So don't be too surprised, and don't be too worried. The fake folks at Twitter put something up on Facebook, basically said, "We're sorry, we didn't mean to scare you," but I'm sure many of you are just a little bit worried when you got that message, and it went out to a lot of people. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for these kind of mistakes in the future and bring it to you. But again, don't sweat the one today. Hey, one thing that we've been watching, and matter of fact, it's a topic that Angela and I talk about quite a little bit, is cloud SQL services. Google today, or within the last couple of days, has spiffed up their Google SQL databases with more storage and faster reads for people that are using it. Now, we know that Google has really invested heavily in cloud services. Anytime you go to My Drive or any of those types of things and create a spreadsheet or doc, you're using the cloud. But these enhancements that they made of their version of MySQL is giving users up to 100 gigs of storage, a 10 times increase from the previous 10 gig limit. That's still really relatively small. Now, if you're just running a website, it's probably sufficient. Now, Geek News Central, I think our MySQL database is up to about 80 gigs. We have a pretty extensive MySQL database. It's backed up every night. Matter of fact, a couple times a day. It's off-sited as well. But this is a pretty big improvement by Google. They've also increased the amount of RAM. They've cached up to 16 gigs of RAM, which is actually pretty good as compared to 4. But you know, MySQL is really works good when you're caching a lot of the database. It just operates a lot faster. It's just like your hard drive. Anytime something's cached in memory, it works better. But what this has done is called Amazon, or required Amazon to cut prices of their relational database service, and their relational database service is pretty expensive. When you look at it from an hour-to-hour perspective, you could pay as much as, I think their lowest relational database service is like 63 cents an hour, and you multiply that out, it can get pretty pricey. Where most of you, they're running your own little databases. Like if you're on a GoDaddy server, you can have like up to 10 or maybe 20 MySQL databases. No one would ever use that many on a single hosting account. I think the most I ever used was like 3. And you get that as part of your $5 a month plan. So it's not like you're, but this is designed for enterprise level type stuff. So we'll see where this goes. But it looks like we may have some pricing wars when it comes to database services. And I think that is absolutely fantastic, to be honest with you. All right, let me switch gears here. Let's talk about something that probably a lot of us are going to be buying over the next month or so as we get into the holiday period. Amazon is bringing wines, basically going to sell wine and deliver to your door. So customers in certain states, specifically folks on the West Coast and people in the southern regions, can now pay $9.99 to ship up to 6 bottles from wineries around the United States. So this service is right now just limited to only 12 states. So that is a little bit of a challenge. But customers order directly from a winery via Amazon, and then they ship, again, they get a price of $9.99 to ship up to 6 bottles. And here's the states that are on the winning side of this: California, Connecticut, Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Nevada, North Carolina, Oregon, Washington, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Now, they say that more are going to be coming soon. Part of it has to do with state liquor laws and all that stuff that's going on, maybe why it's limited. But it looks to me, you know, Amazon is trying to compete with, guess who? Costco. You know, Costco has a huge, huge wine business. And you know, it's real easy. You go to Costco, you wander around the store, you know, pick up 4 or 5 bottles, but what are you limited to? What they have picked. So, you know, oftentimes you can't get stuff from Costco that maybe comes out of a vineyard someplace that you may like. And you may read about something online. So this may really make it easy for you to buy some cool wines. Now, one thing is, you're thinking, okay, Ted, why are we talking wines? It's just the ability of what Amazon has made available here. I love the ability to be able to shop and get stuff shipped to me at a really cheap price. It's cool. And for $9.99, if they ship to Hawaii for $9.99, I can't drive to a wine store and back for less than $9.99. All right, this next article I think is going to disturb many of you. And I'm going to just play it up a little bit. So I apologize, but I'm just going to be off the cuff here a little bit tonight. The folks over at Foxconn are planning to set up a manufacturing plant here in the United States. Now, you think about Chinese and their factories and their slave labor, essentially, because, you know, let's admit it, those folks that are working in Foxconn factories are not getting paid very much. And people will argue, oh, they're getting paid much better than the local economy. But obviously, those jobs are not in the United States. Those jobs are in China. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, why are they going to do this? So let's just talk about what they want to manufacture here in the United States. Now, since they manufacture Apple products, and because it's complicated, in other words, a lot of hands-on stuff, what they want to do is they want to focus on LCD TV production. So bigger, easier to automate, don't need so many small hands or so many, you know, little small processes. It's big parts that snap in and bolt and screw, and, you know, it's basically a lot less manual labor. So they want a highly automated plant employing very few people. So the question really is here, okay, they're going to bring in and do LCD TV production. Is this a sign of the Apple TV that could be coming? What do you guys think? I don't know. Maybe, right? So I guess we'll have to see where this leads. But at the same time, do you want to work for a company that is world famous for treating their employees horribly? So they're planning a training program. The Foxconn factory people are planning a training program for U.S. engineers. They're going to bring them to Taiwan or China to take part in the process of product design and manufacturing. Why are we sending people? Why do we have to send engineers to China to learn about the process of product design and manufacturing? Foxconn is talking with MIT. Does this just strike you guys as like, wow? You know, I'm just a little bit surprised. I really am. So, you know, what this does is this sets off alarm bells in my head, makes me say, what are they doing? What are they doing? Why are they doing this? Well, are we becoming a second-class society? I don't think so. But they're going to be setting up a plant here in the United States. They're taking that money we've been sending over there and bringing it back over here. As long as they pay taxes here, I guess it's okay, right? I don't know. It just seems weird that Foxconn's bringing a factory to the United States. Just to me, it seems a little odd. How come Apple's not bringing a factory? How come Sony's not bringing a factory? How come it's Foxconn? All right, web radio growing faster than on-demand services. Webcasters such as Pandora saw 27% increase, while on-demand players such as Spotify and Rhapsody grew by 18%. So music listening patterns continue to evolve, and not just from analog to digital, but from downloads to streaming, which is kind of an interesting move. Are you guys finding yourself streaming a lot more podcasts, or are you guys downloading them and taking them with you? That's the question I have for you guys. So I don't know. I don't see very many folks listening to this show on Stitcher. It's available on Stitcher, but most of you still download the show. Of course, Stitcher gives us very little stats data. Their stuff, they download my show one time, and then they repackage it as they see fit. They basically compress it down so the audio quality is not as good, and then they make it available, and they serve up the media. And then they provide us some rinky-dink stats that they have on their site. So I don't know. You guys listening to this show on Stitcher? I don't hear from any audience members. I know what the stats are over there. It's very small numbers. So, but a lot of you say that they're streaming a lot more radio now. All right, a judge has blocked a California new ban on anonymity for sex offenders. And what's happened here is on Tuesday, voters in California approved what was on their ballot called Proposition 35, which ratcheted up penalties for those convicted of adult or sex crimes, including human trafficking. The proposition included a provision requiring registered sex offenders to disclose to law enforcement all of their internet connections and online identities. In other words, if they were registered on Facebook as Charlie Brown, they had to and their name was, you know, Tom Smith, they had to register, basically let the state know that. Well, two of the 73,900 registered sex offenders in the state would have been affected, but two of them filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of this provision. And basically, the judge has said, hey, we're going to initially block the law to determine if it's constitutional or not. So, you know, basically, this judge is legislating from the bench. And so now he's going to hold up the people's vote, and they're going to move forward with a review process. Now, my question for you guys is, what do you think about that? What do you think about the judge stopping it? Number two, do you understand it's got to run the full process? But, you know, it just goes to show you can vote for something. Doesn't mean it's going to be enacted. That's for sure. All right. Please be aware that there is a mushrooming epidemic of people that are basically trying to be bribed for ransomware. Basically, people's machines get infected. And it's saying that this malware that's disabling a PC is demanding hefty cash payments. Some people are paying as much as $200 to $1,000 to supposedly unlock their machines. This group of hackers has raised over $5 million. So here's some estimation of their earnings. 68,000 compromised computers per month. 1,972 of them paid up. That's a 2.9% return rate. That's better than some banner ad click-throughs. Ransom was $200 or $394,000. And the sad thing is, most of them didn't get an unlock key. They still had to basically get the malware off their machines. This is supposedly a Russian scam, a Russian hacker group that's doing this. So please, please, please make people aware that don't pay for this ransom. You're not going to get the thing unlocked. But, you know, they try to scare you. And they say you've got a limited amount of time. And they accuse you of child porn and all kinds of nasty, disgusting stuff. So be aware, okay? And it's got this, like, a Department of Justice. It makes it look like it comes from an official site. But be careful. Don't fall for this. There is a way to get this malware off your computers. Just, you know, do that so you don't get stuck with a machine that's locked out. And number two, don't let someone pay that ransom. All right, a new MasterCard with an LCD display is being introduced. This is kind of an interesting deal. What they're doing here is they're basically introducing this card overseas. It's kind of a test, and it does all kinds of things. Shows your balance. You can create a PIN. There's a little keyboard on it. It's got a little on-off button. So it's got all kinds of information that can be used, and MasterCard is thinking, you know, this is a kind of a prototype deal, but they're saying it's more secure than a regular card, and, of course, it's going to face challenges with near-field communications and services like Passbook. But this is something that's being played with, and so this will be coming out in January of 2013. I don't know exactly where they're going to be introducing this, but I'm sure a lot of merchants are going to be like, what is this? And I guess it'll actually communicate as well, so that's kind of an interesting move by MasterCard. And it's supposed to operate like a regular credit card. Now, this isn't the first attempt by MasterCard to do this. They've tried to introduce this back in 2010. All right, those of you that are on Dish and have the Hopper, should be glad to know that a judge has denied Fox, the television network, request to stop Dish commercial skipping service. So this judge refused to issue a preliminary injunction in a case pitting the Dish satellite network against Fox Media Empire. Of course, again, it's over the legality of the Dish Hopper DVR and their AutoHop feature. So anyway, he's not going to do an injunction here. So this will probably continue to trial and be decided there. But continue to enjoy the AutoHopper on Dish. If you live down under in Australia, Pizza Hut customers, if you've ordered a pizza online from anywhere in Australia, you may want to call your credit card company. Apparently, on Tuesday night, hackers defaced the Australian website of Pizza Hut and made off with customer personal data, including names, email addresses, contact information, and, of course, your credit cards. Hey, do you want to comment? I want to thank the background that we have today. You guys know where I'm sitting here in a Google data center. I want to thank Sam Garcia for providing the background. Sam's one of our Ohana members, of course, lives in Albuquerque. So definitely, if you guys have a cool idea for a background for me to use, definitely fire that over. I'm glad I'm really not in that data center because it would be so noisy we wouldn't be able to do the show. But the significance of the blue LEDs means everything is healthy, everything's good. If we had red LEDs, it would mean that the servers are in big, big trouble. Switching gears here, let's talk about Cisco. A Cisco VIP, or Cisco VP, had one of his memos leaked. And whoever leaked this probably shouldn't have done it because the Cisco vice president happens to have been a CIA operation officer in the 1980s. And he has basically put out, basically said to the entire company, I will now make finding you my hobby. So if you have leaked something at Cisco, I would not want to have to be explaining anything to this guy. You obviously will lose your job, but he's very aggressive in wanting to really go after whoever this person was. So it should prove to be an interesting move. Hey, one thing I want to do here is that when we had two shows ago, we had a little contest. And basically, I had a link in the show notes for you to click to win. And I'm going to go over to Twitter right now, and we're going to search that hashtag, and we're going to see how many people clicked on that hashtag. Let's see here. Let's view all tweets. And I got, we didn't have a lot of people. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You guys are missing out here. A big opportunity to have won something. So let me go to random number generator. You guys are missing out here. I didn't check that before. So let's go to random.org is where I'm going. And I'm going to say 1 is the minimum, 6 is the max. Generate the number. It's number 5. If I count down, 1, 2, 3, 4. Sam Garcia, thanks for the background, and at the same time, congratulations. And let me actually show this up on the screen so you guys all know this is all legit here. Let me switch back. Those of you who are watching the video, that's all I saw in this list was 6. I want to thank Bill, Sam, Jim, Yad Girl, and Mike for all clicking on the link. And we just redid the hashtag, but Sam Garcia was number 5. I tell you, then you guys made it too easy for Sam to win. Next time, make sure you click on the link to win, and all you had to do is just tweet to win. It was easy, but Sam Garcia wins our Boxy. So congratulations to Sam. You're going to get a Boxy box, the new Boxy box. So good deal for you. All right, let me go ahead here and move out of that. I almost forgot. I didn't have that in the show notes. I'm glad I did it here mid-show. All right, let me go ahead and switch gears, and we'll talk about NASA. NASA's firing up experimental space internet for robot control. But what they did was NASA teamed up with the European Space Agency, and they did an experimental version of interplanetary internet. And what they did is they controlled a robot on the ground in Germany from a laptop on board the International Space Station. So kind of a reverse control type of thing, which was kind of cool. There's a full write-up on it on networkworld.com. I have a link up for you in the show notes on that. So we'll definitely get into that. Hey, I want to talk about just one other thing about the election. And one guy who was being ridiculed all over the place on a variety of networks. No one was giving this guy much many kudos. But Oh, that was nice. You guys got to see the green screen there for a little bit instead of the data center. Nate Silver, basically, his political data, he got every one of his state-level presidential predictions correct. And he was being lambasted by Joe Scarborough of MSNBC. He called him a joke. There was an op-ed in the LA Times accusing him of running a numbers racket. The Examiner dismissed him as a thin and effeminate man with a soft-sounding voice. Even the legendary David Brooks claimed that his work was getting into silly land, but he beat them all. He nailed it. 100% nailed the election results. And so I think this guy all of a sudden is now going to be a very popular person. And I am sure he is going to make a butt ton of money, as all of the future presidential candidates will probably employ him for his service. I think if I was thinking about running for president, which would is be a totally insane comment, but I think I'd get that guy in retainer now. if you're going to be able to do basically 100% to correct prediction, that's the guy you want on your team, right? Of course, he may tell you something you don't want to know. He may tell you you're going to lose. So anyway, congratulations to him for picking them all right. Hey, those of you down under in Australia, the government has announced that it's dropping mandatory ISP filtering, but it still wants filtering. So this is kind of an interesting move by the Australian government. So basically, the federal government has formally abandoned plans to introduce legislation for mandatory ISP filtering, closing a dark chapter in politics concerning Australia's internet. But confusingly, instead, internet service providers will be directed by the government and the Australian Federal Police to block child abuse websites that feature an on-Interpol block list. So I think, you know, that probably the ISPs can agree to that. But they are going to be blocking illegal sites as listed, especially child abuse websites, as listed by Interpol. So I'm sure most people will be approve of that, but we'll see if it grows beyond that. I'm sure they'll cover it in the news if it does. All right, next article up is one over on Slashdot. Apple has quietly decided that it probably shouldn't be using JavaScript code on its UK site to hide its second Samsung apology. While you have to still scroll down, in most cases, the company is no longer forcing it. Check it out yourself at Apple UK. So it looks like they were trying to kind of bury it with you'd have to have JavaScript enabled to get to the apology. But I think they probably got their hands whacked hard enough the first time they decided not to press their luck. I think we covered this in the last show, but Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, has asked Paramount to remove their beer from the movie flight. The movie flight is about a gentleman that was a pilot who got drunk and flew the airplane, and he was just by chance drinking Budweiser in the movie. So they don't want that in there, and they've asked them to remove that. We'll see if they do. All right, Pfizer, guys. Pfizer's real famous for a certain product. Well, Pfizer can't keep its patent on that product up in Canada. So, yeah, they can't keep it up in Canada. So today, in a ruling from this, that was pretty good, wasn't it? Today, in a ruling from the Supreme Court of Canada, Pfizer lost its Canadian patent on this product as a result of a long-fought battle. They basically said Pfizer's product was never patented because of some things they have done. So this is a big win for a company called Teva, who wants to come in with a generic product. So we'll see where this leads. But Pfizer is probably got a patent in the United States, I think, until at least 2014 on that same product. All right, video about fair use, remix, and culture is taken down over copyright claim, of course. So, you know, a few years back, a post highlighting an absolutely fantastic video by Julian Sanchez about the value of remix culture has been taken down on YouTube. So he makes a fair use video about remix, and it's been removed by the publishing company. It just, you know, just the craziness continues. Hey, we're on the verge. They're reporting that AT&T is offering $100 off tablets if users sign up for a 2-year data contract. Is it worth it? Your financial situation could change. Is it worth it to be locked into a 2-year contract on a tablet to save $100? Let's think about that. I don't think so. I really don't think it's worth it. Just for $100, go buy the tablet and go on month to month. If you're having a tight month financially, you turn the plan off. You know? All right, let's talk about why it's worth the purchaseyourown.com. And when I talk about purchase your own, I mean your name, todd.cochran.com, that type of a domain. Have you purchased your own.com, your own name? You know, I'm a domain addict, and I bought a lot of .coms. I have over 200. I deal in them. I dicker back and forth. I sell some. Usually sell one or two a year, and it usually makes my re-registration product. Basically, I can re-register the domains on that sale. So I think it's really important to have a domain that is of your own. And if you can still get it, you know, try to get it. It may not be available. You may not need it today, but you may need it in a few years. The way people think about website is changing, and more personal landing pages services could be the future. Where you have a personal landing page, it's a .me, maybe a .me address. So think about that, all right, when you're out there kind of playing around on the internet. And, of course, you can, you know, pick up a .com or with one of my promo codes. Of course, if you buy a .me, you're going to have to use that Go20 off 2 promo code to go off 20, T-O, not 2, to save money. But again, all those links are at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, how to use Windows 8 new file history backup, a.k.a. Time Machine for Windows. There's a good instructional on how to do that over on Lifehacker. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Of course, all of today's articles will be up at gncshownotes.com. So definitely go over there and check out all the links. Of course, we'll have all the links to today's show sent to everyone on the newsletter. Of course, there's a link to that article at gncshownotes.com at geeknewscentral.com, where we'll have show 815's articles. How many of you ladies and fellas who have a laundry room that's real not efficient, how many of you wish you had a place to put and hide the detergent a little better? We've got one of those raised washer and dryers with a little you know, drawers underneath that work out real handy. But if you have an older washer and dryer and that's really not efficient, the folks over at Ogizmo has come up with basically you can buy a laundry caddy. And I've seen these before in a variety of different places. But $50, you can get one, and basically it slides in between. You can separate your washer and dryer, put this in between, kinds of hides it, get out of, you know, gets it out of sight when you don't want it to be seen. And this is kind of a cool way to organize your laundry. So kind of a cool little product that's being talked about over on Ogizmo. Hey, big news on Windows Phone 8. The Internet Explorer 10 is bringing HTML5 to the Windows Phone. This is a big, big deal. And I'm excited about that because that means Windows Phone 8 users, when they come to Geekno Central, will detect its HTML5, will present the HTML5 player. This is big. It really is. So looking forward to this being introduced and with this new browser available for the Windows Phone 8. All right, a couple articles over on torrentfreak.com that I want to cover tonight. RapidShare is a file hosting service, basically a cloud file hosting service, has limit public download traffic to drive away pirates. RapidShare is a Swiss-based file hosting service, and they're taking a drastic step in its ongoing efforts to drive away pirates. Starting later this month, they're going free users of the service will be limited to sharing just 1 gigabyte a day, while paid users will be allowed to transfer up to 30 gigabytes to the public. RapidShare CEO is saying that the new measures will prevent abuse by persistent copyright infringers. So if you're using RapidShare to share media in a way that you shouldn't, you're going to get shut down. On another front, BitTorrent traffic has increased 40% in just half a year. A new data published by the Canadian broadband management company, Sandyvine, reveals that BitTorrent traffic increased by 40% in North America over the past half year. During peak hours, BitTorrent is credited for more than a third of all upload traffic, while Netflix accounts for 28% of all downstream traffic during the same period. I find that just incredible. There is that much media being moved around via BitTorrent. And don't forget about six strikes. That's could be affecting you if you're using BitTorrent. All right, Mega, M-E-G-A. Well, the folks at Gabon, I guess that's the name of the country, has decided that Mega is not going to be used as a base for committing copyright infringement. As announced, this country will seize the ME.GA domain. And .com, of course, is blaming the United States government and entertainment company Vivendi. There's a little more twist to this. A group of hackers apparently has that domain now and say they're going to sell it to the highest bidder. So anyway, ME.GA will not be on January 20th. I wonder if this is going to be a cat-and-mouse thing for Mega Upload. I wonder if he's going to, or Kim.com, I wonder if he's going to have to go out and battle these folks every chance they can get. You know, this he's pushing a lot of boundaries here, and it's just one of those things that it's, I think, governments around the world are going to keep zapping, you know, and whacking away every time he puts up a domain name. They may take it away from him. The question is, how long can he hold out, and can he find his way around and get a domain that isn't going to be influenced by a foreign government? He may make his own .dot extension. We'll see. Hey, Cray has unleashed a 100 petaflop XC30 supercomputer, has up to a million Intel Xeon cores. Disclosure, I own Intel stock. Thank you very much, Cray, for buying all those chips. But they fired up this launch of the XC30 is a brute that can scale up to a million cores. This has been developed in conjunction with DARPA, and they're using a new infrastructure called Cascade. This is incredible. This put Cray well ahead of its rivals like the Chinese Tian 2, and the company will aim to keep the speed by recharging future versions with Intel Xeon Pi and Neon, NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. So this is a big move by Cray. Don't think they build it. Just have it available if someone wants to pony up the cash. All right, last couple articles tonight, and we have a few emails. Verizon CFO has basically announced LTE rollout should wrap up by mid-2013, many months ahead of schedule. So congratulations to Verizon in getting their LTE network pretty much rolled out. The true test, will it be in rural areas as well? That's the question. How many of you have ever pinched your finger on a stack in a box? Well, someone has redesigned the cardboard box. You think, how could they possibly do that? Well, they have put in finger grips. And this is just a prototype. This is not on the market yet. But it's basically a place where you can stack boxes or not get stuck putting a box on the floor. You know, this is how I have to laugh. Because the person that designed this obviously has not carried many boxes. Because what do? You got a box. You've got your fingers under it, right? You're carrying it around. You're going to put it on the floor. What do? You stick your foot out. You put the box down. It's under your foot. It's on your shoe. You pull your fingers out. And then you pull your foot out. And the box drops to the floor. You don't need this special little finger doodad to keep your fingers from being pinched. You use your foot. All right, folks, this is going to bring us here to the end of the show today. I've got a couple of emails I'll go into. Got an email here from Alex. Hey, my name is Alex. I've been listening to your show for a while now. I really like your show. You mix tech news with just enough general news. I like you to cover laws are coming into effect or aren't laws yet. My only complaint is in the last show, episode 814, you kept talking about sounds from the soundboard. I'm not sure how you were routing your sound to the podcast, but I could not hear them. I'm not sure if you played them really quiet or forgot to include them in the podcast stream. I'm not sure if you are aware that the sound isn't there. Well, that's all I have for this email. I look forward to your future shows. Yep, I was quite the monkey and not getting the sounds in there. And I can guarantee you that I will continue to do that. I'll get them in there as I'm just playing with this. If you guys are completely annoyed by this, just, you know, I'm sure some of you are probably screaming. So I can't help myself. I'm sorry. I'm having just a little bit too much fun, and maybe I'll just reserve this for the road show, because I think the last thing you want to hear is me squeezing a rubber ducky in a tech show. Oh, I'm horrible. Okay, so got an email here from Tim. He said, "Hey, Todd, you called it. Cord cutting continues as subscriber-based TV rapidly declines." This is an article on the Wall Street Journal. And I think because all of the political news is continuing after the election is over, I think I will potentially have to get back into cord cutting. I think my wife into it. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But that's going to wrap me up, folks, for everything here. Hey, I want to thank you for hanging out. And this road show, I hope you enjoyed it. We're trying to, you know, keep the quality up for the road show. I think this one turned out pretty good. If I had not overdone it here with the sound effects, I think we'll be okay. But this thing's pretty cool. It's got a whole variety of stuff. It's got a few too many animal noises, a rooster, a monkey, a dog. It has a typical fart machine. It has a kiss, explosion, burp, a cow that moos, a ringtone, a train, a jet, a race car, a car horn, something called a cymbal. I guess that was a door knock. So it's got a few things here that are pretty good, but I don't think I'll be hitting all of those. As always, again, it's been my pleasure. You can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me geeknews@gmail.com. Again, you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. That wraps it up. Everyone, take care. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. We'll see you back in Honolulu on the Monday show. Well, there'll be no Saturday morning tech because I'll be on an airplane coming across. But until then, everyone, take care. This wraps another edition of the Geek News Central podcast.